With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I believe in miracles, everyone. Welcome to the Football Ramble! Oh, we've got ourselves a saucy final day in the Prem, and Forest are in the final. It's Wednesday, 18th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you on this wonderful Wednesday. Two big games last night. There were more, but we're focusing on those two big games in the first half. I've already let the cat out of the bag in that intro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what the intro is for, isn't it?
I guess it would be. It would be odd to say, oh, we're going to talk about this and then not talk about
or
it.
Or go, not sure what we're doing.
Yeah. We'll make it up as we go along.
Well, that's partly true, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Well, it is football time, everybody. We're going to start with Southampton 1, Liverpool 2. Jim Campbell, what a final day we've got. It's the final day that Jack Grealish wanted.
Yes, absolutely.
When he said he was buzzing for the final day because it's going to be like a cup final. And him, much like myself and many others, forgot about the Southampton game.
Yeah.
Well, that as well.
Yeah. I think they assumed that Liverpool would beat Southampton, right?
Yeah.
Which is a bit cheeky, but obviously ultimately proved to be.
Have you seen Southampton play?
Quite.
Yeah. It's disrespectful to Southampton, and they did give a bit of a game for it. I love the fact that Nathan Redmond scored the first goal.
Mate.
Slight deflection, but great goal. But I just... He clearly thought to himself, right, I don't want Pep corner.
No, this
me.
Is what Pep was talking about all along.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, full Pep's,
chest.
When that went in, Pep's wife has looked over. Where's he gone? He's going to get a drink or something. Uh-huh. He's in the car, backing up the driveway. I'm going there. Yeah. I'm going there now. I'll listen to the rest on the radio. I'll be back in a bit. Off. Get me to Redmond.
Oh, dear.
Agent Redmond in the field.
He should sign him, shouldn't he? Just for the
lols. Just
lols.
Do it.
Yeah.
Just do
get
it.
Get him in there just for a yeah. season.
Is that disrespectful to a really storied and hard-working pro, Nathan Redmond?
No, I'm saying he should play for Man City.
A manager should sign him for the lols. Yeah. Is that what he's worked hard for?
I'm suggesting that he may not you start know? In that team, but he'll pick up a League Cup winner's medal probably next season, won't he?
Oh, what a tempting offer.
Well, that's a major trophy.
Well, you know me, I'd be away from Southampton as soon as possible. I mean, it never felt like... And I know people aren't going to take this seriously because I always slag off Southampton, and fair enough.
Which you've done twice already.
Yeah, I'm about to do it a third time. I don't care if people don't listen to me on this. It's my firm opinion that even when Southampton scored that goal, none of the players themselves thought they were going to get anything out of it.
Right.
Regardless.
They're playing Liverpool, to be fair.
Yes, they are playing Liverpool, Mark. Mm. So I understand who they were playing and what the game entailed. But I'm saying that like, there was no West Ham versus Man City jeopardy about it.
No.
Where you thought, hang on a minute, this could be something, which of course it was. I thought, you know, it sunk into me and I thought to myself, what does Southampton actually exist for as a club?
Outrageous.
And what it was...
Aren't they really more of a hockey club?
They were back in the day.
You suggest I'm disrespectful that Nathan Redmond would go to Man City for the lols. So now you said, what is the point of this club's existence?
But the two things then, they're basically, the two points to Southampton's existence are regularly chatting about, I mean, you haven't got to take my word for it. You can look at all the report on it.
We're going to take your word for it.
Regular chat go about on. When Ralph Hasenhüttl was going to go to a bigger club and how good James Ward-Prowse is at free kicks. That's it. That's the only conversation he ever has about
it. He was in the shortlist. And lest we forget, Gareth Bale played there when he was very young. Look what he went on to do.
Yeah. There's a third one, which is players they used to have that were good. I mean, it's not exactly a great ring endorsement, is it?
A lot of them went to play for Klopp at Liverpool.
It's the most boring team. It's like 40 points, nothing's happening. It's completely off the radar. No one cares. Even when they score, no one thinks they're going to get anything out of the game. What's the point?
How have you turned it into this? There's a lot to be said for stability, right?
There's a lot to be said for stability, and Southampton have provided a good model of how you do that in an era where there are clubs with a lot more resources available to them to provide some balance. But Luke, you were saying...
If you allow me, Jim.
Well, I think
this ain't the fucking BBC, mate.
I think it is important, especially if we just take a look on that beautiful south coast of England. You know, Southampton have provided a bit of stability. Brighton are doing it as well. Okay? Hopefully others will follow.
Yeah. If you're looking for stability, I wouldn't look at the team I support, mate.
But even
Finn and the producer Finn and the running order put in the running order, this was a pretty unsurprising comeback.
Well, no, but
Liverpool, one of the great teams that we've seen in the Premier League. So,
I think Southampton made them work for it. It was on paper, it's a slender win. It wasn't as if Liverpool was sort of battering down the door, but they were good value. I mean, the goal from Matic was, I suppose you could call it slightly fortuitous, maybe.
Yeah, I've seen people say this. I don't know. I thought it was an imperious finish. Maybe I'm projecting too much onto it, but it's one of those brilliant goals that makes football look really easy when you know it's not. It's just like, oh yeah, I'll just nod that in there. There we go.
Yeah, I'll
I'm not sure. And also, I'm not sure. I mean, Liverpool had 24 shots to Southampton's 4, and 71%
shows
position.
You how accurate Southampton are. But Liverpool, they did make changes. They had a midfield three of Curtis Jones, James Milner and Harvey Elliott. And,
How good is it having Milner to come in, by the way?
That's lovely.
It's Milner, like Jim said earlier, I hope you don't mind me stealing your line, Jim. He said it was like the PE teacher joining the football team. So, yeah, I'll take care of this, don't worry about it.
Well, here's a bit of context. I think it was, I forget his name, who said on Twitter after the FA Cup final that James Milner has played in the same team in the FA Cup, not the final, but in the FA Cup with Lucas Radebe. And Lucas Radebe's like in his 50s now.
That's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible.
A phenomenal career he's had. Is he 37?
36.
36. Yeah. Same age as Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe that, though, would you? Yeah. But more on him later. But yes, in that midfield with two youngsters, Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott, who, of course, brilliant young players. It's great to see Harvey Elliott in there as well. But to have Milner in there just to shepherd them and go, don't worry, lads, you're in trouble, just give the ball to me.
So versatile as well, like played in the centre of midfield, like we didn't even used to think about him as a centre midfielder at all, like a number of years ago.
He's essentially just figured out the game, isn't he, at this point, and he's got his body and his mind can keep up with each other.
He could do a job in goal.
It's a really, really rare thing that a player can keep those standards up for so long and just keep that sharp.
In this
team, he
doesn't
play that much as well, and obviously that's when you really lose the sharpness. Not with Milner.
Well, that's it.
Absolute phenomenon.
Because some players say that, don't they? If you're not playing regularly, if you're on the bench, you're not getting the minutes.
Yeah,
I understand you do the training and so on, but it's not the same as being in the match.
But I think when you're that experienced, I think you could probably get
probably,
games.
And also
the
that
level
age
is unbelievable.
Yeah, true. And that age, maybe he does need the odd little respite. Although Milner is an absolute machine, so perhaps not. But you're right. Even though he's not starting every game, sort of far from it, he's still coming into this team.
Yeah.
This team who are going for a quadruple.
But does that make it easier for him, though, because he's got so many good players around him?
Well, but to have the desire and the hunger to still want to be doing that, I think it's incredibly impressive. But of the squad players that Klopp has at his disposal, he said it's like having Ferraris in the garage.
Mm.
I do quite like that. And it was nice to see Divock Origi. When he came out, I thought, well, he's the winning goal.
Best finisher at the club, by all accounts. He says that all the time.
Milner's one of those vintage Ferraris as well. You see driving down the Amalfi Coast.
Big time. Yeah. Big time. Yeah, absolutely right. Yes. Liverpool, they take it into the last day, of course, against Manchester City. I mean, Liverpool trailed Manchester City by 14 points back in mid-January. They've won 15 and drawn 2 of the last 17 league games, which is incredibly impressive. Now, how about this then, Jim? If Liverpool draw 5-5 with Wolves on the final day and Man City lose 6-0 to Villa, then it will be decided by a playoff. Just because I think sometimes we're unaware of this.
It's definitely worth a discussion, that.
Yeah.
How good would it be to see a playoff for the league?
First of all, it'd be really good to see Aston Villa beat Man City 6-0.
Yeah, it's unlikely to happen this season, I admit.
They beat Liverpool 7-2.
Exactly.
All it takes is like 3 sendings off. So it's each one giving away a penalty.
Can you imagine if Liverpool draw 5-5 with Wolves and then Villa only win 5-0? We'd be like, no, it could have been the greatest thing ever.
People go for a 6. Why? Yeah, up with knackered.
We've got nothing to play for. Yeah. They've shut up shop.
Yeah,
but it's a mouthwatering one. But there's so much going on the final day. You've got the title. You've got the relegation. You've got the Champions League, of course.
Sort of, and
Europa League spot. I think it's all to play for.
Yeah,
in all the various bits and pieces.
Which means it's going to be one of those brilliant match of the days where it's all just one big blob of football, and they do it in like chronological order.
I'll tell you what's like incredible in that stat about the 14 point turnaround. It's just that Liverpool found themselves that far behind having not really done much wrong. If you look at the results for the season for Liverpool, and you're looking at they were 14 points off it, and you look at they must have dropped so many points. They didn't really.
Yeah.
It was just that Man City were so much better. But Liverpool looked like they've almost like the same way a marathon runner would taper their training and time it perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out on the final day whether they have timed it perfectly or not. I suspect they probably will come up just short. But the fact that they've come into their stride at such an important second half part of the season, which has obviously helped them win the League Cup, helped them win the FA Cup, and helped them get to the Champions League final, he's tailored their season so well. I sometimes think like Klopp gets a lot of credit, and rightly so, but him and his team, his management team, don't get enough credit for the way they time. They've timed Liverpool's season.
They've done this with this midfield selection, haven't they? With Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones starting now. It's such a crucial point. And obviously you can trust those players, and obviously he's got those players.
What an amazing display of trust for them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they need everyone to be as fresh as possible for the running they've got coming up, because that Champions League final, you almost forget about it because you need to get the league.
When you say the running, you just mean specifically the final.
Two games. Yeah, but it feels that way, doesn't it?
No, but you're right. But
it's the most important and it's the most mentally taxing.
Exactly, emotionally, certainly. But if you look at the two managers of the teams in question here, Liverpool and Man City, the way they managed to keep everybody interested as well. We talked about this actually at England level with Gareth Southgate in the context of, say, Connor Cody, who said didn't kick a ball at the Euros, but it was best summer of his life kind of thing. And what Guardiola and Klopp managed to do to keep everybody interested, to keep those who are a bit older, like the Milners of the squad and so on, to keep them still wanting to play, and the younger players who don't want to then move away. I know Man City have had one or two in the past, but say take Phil Foden. We always used to say, well, come on, Pep, you say he's the greatest player since sliced bread. Well, are you going to put him in there? But he took his time, and now we're seeing that. I mean, look at Jack Grealish as well. Jack Grealish was the main man at Aston Villa, coming at Man City, but obviously buys in to what's going on. Now, Grealish has had a few more minutes recently, got his goal against West Ham. But it is phenomenal seeing that these two coaches battling it out right now. It is, we talk about the great duels in recent years of Messi and Ronaldo. It's not quite the same, if you see what I mean. But, when you talk about these two, isn't it wonderful to see? And it is with Klopp and Guardiola, seeing those two go head to head. in the Premier League.
We're living for a golden time.
We are. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was always harsh on Phil Foden, that pressure on him, because sliced bread was a hell of a player.
My goodness, yeah.
What a player he was back in the day.
I mixed my metaphors.
I enjoyed it.
And I did it on purpose, David. dearie me. Right, gentlemen, we move to the Championship playoffs. Nottingham Forest 1, Sheffield United 2, 3-3 in aggregate. We needed penalties. My goodness, we got them. Forest were triumphant 3-2. After their worst start to a league campaign in over a century, Nottingham Forest are one game away from ending their 23-year absence from the Premier League.
Mine and Jim's choice for promotion.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, because your second choice failed, of course, Luton.
It was first versus third for me and Jim.
That's right. Brees Samba was the hero. He made some stunning saves.
Yeah, he's such a big presence.
Oh my goodness!
He was just loving he was just really enjoying the penalty shootout.
He really was.
He was.
Did you see a fan? There was somebody took a picture and put it on Twitter of his water bottle with all the
old Tim Krul special.
Yeah, he said because they said, "Oh, how did they not see this?" And he said he hid it in his towel before every.
Nice. Yeah, I think most goalkeepers do that, don't they, in these situations?
Yeah, well, some. I think was it Jens Lehmann against Argentina in 2006. When they had a penalty shootout, whereas I think Lehmann forgot his notes.
It was a blank piece of paper, wasn't
it? And
it
was a blank piece of paper just to get in their heads.
Yeah.
You see? But he was just imperious, wasn't he? I mean, obviously, Sheffield United scored two goals after going 1-0 down. So the Blades showed a bit of something.
I think they showed a lot. I think, you know, you take the whole tie across the two legs. I mean, Forest should have been absolutely out of sight. Yeah. And Forest fans, the ones I know, are of that disposition where it's like, oh, typical Forest, we'll find some way to mess this up. And they were queuing up to score goals in that first leg, particularly in the second half, and they didn't get enough of them. They should have been about 4-5-1 up, and it should have been over.
They've got some really, really strong players in there. Sam Surridge and Brennan Johnson in particular really, really stand out. And they were terrorising that Sheffield United defence in the first game. But it's interesting how much this team tends to be the pattern, doesn't it? And so often in playoff games, there's very little to separate the teams. And also,
it swings a lot as well.
Yeah, exactly. 2-1 victories for the away side in both.
And the reason that's a massive effort from Sheffield United, and I think they deserve more credit than she's saying showing a bit, is because the only other team to win at Forest this year is Liverpool. So they'd actually win the game on the night.
Yeah, you put it like
and
that.
Show a lot of character, because they went a goal down, obviously, in the tie as well, in the second leg. It was
and a partisan home support. And it's, I mean, if we've seen Huddersfield recently in the Premier League, and it would be huge for them, of course, if they were to go up. But Forest are the type of side. Now, I know you could say this about Leeds, and Leeds, you know, they've got a struggle on their hands, obviously, to stay in the Premier League at the moment. But Forest are the type of side who, in theory, they're from, you know, a big city with a lot going on, you know, stadium, which is a decent sized stadium. They've got the history. They've got all the makings to go up and stay up.
Yeah.
And I know financially it's been a bit of a shite show in sort of recent years there, but it's the kind of thing, you know, I hate to do this kind of talk, but if you're some sort of, you know, you investor or whatever and so on, that's a project there, you know, because they've got all the ingredients, they've got all the structure there.
It's very different circumstances because of the situation. I'm going to compare them to Wolves, essentially. Wolves had, you know, the big investment and a real sort of proper plan going up, but they are a club of that sort of stature. You know what I mean? Where you think, as you say, if they could get back up, they could cement themselves there, stay there.
But I would say Forest like even bigger there. Than Wolves in some regards, historically. So
yeah,
I think
although Wolves have got a great history as well.
Yeah, I think Forest one of one of the biggest clubs in the country. Sheffield United are a big team as well. I mean, it's a huge. I mean, it's one of those kind of games last night where if you're from continental Europe and you're looking at that and going, that's a second tier game.
Yeah,
and that's got that many fans.
Well, the Championship is one of the biggest.
It's
leagues.
The fifth biggest in the.
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
Attendance might be higher than Serie A, I think. Right. Yeah, certainly has been. At times.
I mean, but you're right, Luke. It was and at full time. I mean, absolutely extraordinary scenes. Everybody running onto the pitch. Sadly, some idiot seemed to have barged and headbutted Billy Sharp during the pitch invasion. The man has been arrested, which was a great shame. But other than that, of course, from what we saw, was just great jubilation.
Yeah, I kind of get a bit. I don't really like this new trend.
It's been a while that running on the pitch and stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I think
you're
it's
saying
become,
people should be respectful and stay in the stands.
Well, I think it's been something that now seems to be like the thing that you have to do.
Yeah, and it's like throwing your pint glass in the air when England score a goal.
It's become
on a
like
massive
a
scale,
performative thing rather than an instinctive thing.
Yeah, I know.
And
what
I think
you mean.
Unfortunately, you are going to get those kind of things happening, and it's absolutely disgraceful what happened to Billy Sharp. And you know, I don't think in that kind of situation, I don't think a life ban from football is enough. Like, he's committed a criminal offence. He's assaulted someone, ultimately. And so, yeah, we hope that he gets everything that he's got coming to him. But Marcus, I wanted to spare a word or two for Steve Cooper, actually.
Yeah,
because,
please do.
I mean, you mentioned that, you know, when he took over, they had the worst league start to a league campaign for 100 years or whatever. The career he's having as a manager, I think, is so underreported, chiefly because, I suppose, you know, Swansea, with the greatest respect to them, it was obviously in the Championship as well. They are an unfashionable team. And, you know, for him to take them right to the very cusp of the Premier League again and not quite do it.
In the interest of balance, some people might say that Swansea aren't an unfashionable side, considering some of the football they've played.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So, what I mean by that, let me clarify that. So, what I mean is that they're not a glamorous club. You know, people don't go, oh, can't wait to see what Swansea's result is this week. You know, I think they play some great football in the Premier League.
I take your point.
And all that good stuff. And they've obviously, you know, had some success in recent years. But the point being that then he goes to Forest. This is all off the back of winning the Under-17 World Cup for England, by the way. You know, and he goes to Forest in the summer of last year. He leaves Swansea in June of 21 and goes to Forest in September of 21. And now they're one game away from the Premier League. It's a fascinating story. His methods are clearly so effective. He's managed to really instill a kind of a proper ethic into that team, into that club. And I was reading earlier that he's kind of tapped into the history of Forest, the stuff you guys were mentioning earlier, how big a club they are, what that means to the town. And he's really been very good at that. And clearly, it will be a huge shame, with the greatest respect to Huddersfield Town fans, it'll be a huge shame if he fell at the final hurdle for the second time, because I think the time before they got to the semi-final of the playoffs. But I really think he is someone that has an awful lot riding on this playoff final for him personally. Now, he'll probably want to put the team first and say, look, it's all about the team, not about me. But his career, this is a massive sliding doors moment. Yeah, if he gets him up into the Premier League, and dare I say, does a Brentford, like a Thomas Frank with Brentford kind of thing, as a kind of young British coach, you know, the world's his oyster, really.
Well,
he's had nothing but success. So
despite appearances, he's only 42.
He doesn't look great.
No,
but they, you know, nor do I.
No,
you know. So who am I to say?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if future Wales manager at this rate, you know,
I think he could. I think if they needed a new manager, he would be at the very front of the queue already. For that job.
Indeed. Yeah. Marvellous. Okay, well, Nottingham Forest will play Huddersfield, of course, on the 29th of May. I think that's the day after the Champions League final.
There you go, the main event.
I'd say.
They've had Huddersfield have had a great season as well, by the way. I know I keep saying it.
No, you've been very fair.
That manager there has done a brilliant job there too.
Yeah. But, I mean, poor old Sheffield United, though, Jim, they failed to progress from the playoffs in all 9 attempts.
Oh.
And here's another stat for you. In 45 appearances in the playoffs, red and white striped shirted teams have lost 19 finals and been knocked out of the semis 22 times.
Mm. How many finals have they won, though? So 19... Okay, I can't bother to do the maths.
No, don't.
There are a lot of red and white shirts. Yeah. This is what we're learning here, really, isn't it?
Atletico Madrid don't play in the playoffs, mate.
No, but...
You've got your edge, haven't you? Yeah.
All right, you've done me up like a...
Athletic Bilbao don't play in the playoffs, Jim, do they?
Yeah. You've done me up like a duck's back.
Yeah.
Right, whatever it was you would say.
Listen, Jim, think about it next time you open your mouth, yeah? Because Marcus will fucking burn you, mate.
Yeah.
Sick burn.
There we are, everybody. Two Jims with one stone there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yeah, and I know we're not experts, you know, we're not doctors, we're not scientists, but...
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody, the podcast that stays in its lane.
Yeah.
Right, it's Wednesday, it's time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy, we're so happy.
We are so happy.
Yeah, I'm happy for that.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait!
I say the podcast that stays in its lane. It's now time for us to give people life advice.
Yeah. I actually sat through the whole Matatissier live stream, by the way. Yeah. My wife stopped me.
Why? Was your opinion changing?
She came in and said, you still listen to that? I said, yeah, she should turn it off. It's making you stupider. So, okay, fine. And then she made me delete Getter.
Yeah.
So it's
excellent.
I had a bit of a funny old time with it because I don't know if you guys saw, I downloaded Getter just to watch it.
David?
No, he's not involved. He's not involved. For legal reasons, I'll make it absolutely clear, he's not involved. And I downloaded it just to watch the thing, Matt Letizia and Ricky Lambert, who, by the way, is, whatever you think about Matt Letizia and his recent shenanigans, Ricky Lambert is worse. Make it absolutely clear.
That's such a shame.
He was saying some stuff that Matt Letizia was having to row back from, right? So that tells you everything you need to know, right? I tweeted saying I'm watching this. I got accidentally taken into their cabal. Letizia was retweeting me.
I know.
I had to stop it.
You got to be careful.
I had to nip it in the bud, and then Letizia blocked me. Anyway,
silence of the Lamberts.
That's a trophy for you, isn't it? Letizia blocking you.
Oh, if he had known,
and you've not even had a dig at him, really.
No. I did have a dig at him after.
Yeah.
I said that, you know.
Right.
Anyway.
Pep talks. Luke.
Pep talks. Yeah. So we got an email here from Matt LT, who says that I was on an app the other day. And I got an email here from Andy. He says, Andy's the guy to give our listeners a kind of a bit of a re-up. Yeah. Andy was the guy who was in touch a few months back. I don't expect you guys to remember, but I'll remind you now. He was asking for advice to help stop his son repeating swear words at school that he had been hearing at Stockport County games. Example given, I think it was, "your shit, ah," every time his teacher walked into class.
Yeah, right? you can't be joking.
Not helpful. No. Not helpful. And he's only four as well. Am I joking? I don't know how old he is. So anyway, that's the kind of premise. Andy says, has got back in touch, and he says, "You may remember my son got in trouble at school for swearing learnt at the football. Despite Andy Brassel saying he wouldn't learn anything, and Vish telling him swearing is fine anyway." Cheers for that, Vish. Well done.
He's very reckless, is Vish.
He is, yeah.
With the youth of the country.
He is. On Sunday, at the last game of the season, we met his teacher at Edgeley Park, of course, where Stockport County play, on the pitch after full time, singing "Fuck you, Wrexham, we've gone and won the league," along with thousands of others. I thought you'd be pleased to know that despite your best efforts, he's now off the hook.
Excellent. Yeah. That's what you got to do.
I don't agree with people voting the pitch, but that's a good email.
That's right.
Good update. So now you can have the pep talk now, Jim, because that's the kind of preamble.
Anonymous have been in touch again.
Worrying.
Yeah.
Always watching. They're firing line.
They are legion. I was filming.
Expect us. What are you going to do next week? I'll probably email the Football Ramble.
Your aims seem to have got a lot smaller. Yeah, we're just a bit older, a bit more chill, a bit more realistic. Yeah. They'll read it out. No one else will.
There's nothing going on in the world at the moment.
So they say, "I was filming a wedding on the weekend, and as the FA Cup headed into penalties, a crowd gathered around a phone to watch. As the crowd involved cheers and joy, I decided to film a little of this. Little did I know, the happy couple decided to cut the cake at the same time. How do I get around the fact that there may not be any shots of the cake being cut?
Well, he says there may not, when there won't be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You didn't film the cutting of the cake. You were filming other people. You're in denial, Anonymous.
I haven't been for the rushes yet, but I was the only camera person, and I definitely didn't film it.
He needs to find it if someone else filmed it on a camera phone.
Just splice it in.
Got to lie. You've got to lie and say there was a technological gremlin.
Yeah.
Jim, you've got to lie.
Yes, you
Boris,
do.
Boris.
Vish again.
I'm not going to do it. Yeah. How dare you? How dare you say what you nearly said?
What?
Yeah.
Boris Becker?
Yeah. I think you'll find.
He's a shit.
It's not been a good year for Boris's, to be honest.
Is it ever a good year for Boris's?
Yeltsin?
Is it ever a good year for Boris's?
Yeah, that's...
What I would say is that, really, Anonymous here have... I'm not going to keep that up, I can't be bothered. The Anonymous emailer has basically only got himself to blame, really. You do really need to be on it. If you've been asked to take responsibility and all that kind of stuff. But what I would say is this. We've got a lot of talented video editors here.
Yeah.
So if you want to send it in for a sizable fee plus VAT, we'll see what we can do with it.
What, we recreate the whole thing?
No, send all the video footage in, like you said, of all the people filming, and we'll see if we can splice it together for you.
Yeah, but he's then got to get hold of other people. So why would the photographer go, hey, oh, you're the brother of the... Yeah.
If he didn't want to do this, he should have filmed them cutting the cake.
Exactly. It's as simple as that. And the thing is, you're saying, oh, he's the first thing he's thought to do is email us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he's in a lot of trouble.
Big time.
Yeah.
Keep us updated. Let us know how much of your fee they withheld. Yeah. Because I'll be withholding all of it.
Yeah.
I think the cutting the cake thing's a weird one at the wedding, because to me it comes normally...
I know what you mean.
It normally comes later in the... affair, later in the kind of event, and sometimes it's a bit like the first dance. If you're not a big player in the wedding, so you're not an usher or a best man, whatever it is, and you're at the back but the bar and you can't have a look over and say, oh yeah, they're doing the first dance, that's nice, what song is it, oh good, and then you get on with your life. It's a bit like
the cake I think is even more sort of
incidental. It's not a big part of it, is it?
No, it's the cat and the cake, all right, well let me know when they have and I'll have a piece.
I'll definitely have a piece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'll probably grab another bit and keep it in a napkin when I leave.
Yeah, in fact, why are you even cutting it, just give me it here.
You want me to cut it?
Mind the teeth, Mark. Yeah. Food fight! That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think we've answered Anonymous's, you know.
In a way.
I think we've done
offered suggestions.
You're going to withhold your name. We're going to withhold our advice.
Yeah. Genuinely lie.
You're on your own.
Just be better for the future.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions for us, however ridiculous, send them in and we will get to them every Wednesday. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Talking about ridiculous, gentlemen, let's have a Wagatha Christie update. Many of you will have been watching this, of course. It is
the Scouse trap,
the trial of the century.
The trial of the century between Wayne Rooney's wife, Colleen Rooney, and Jamie Vardy's wife, Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah.
If you're not over this, then what on earth have you been doing? What is the news for? Yeah.
If you're in a country that may not have this in the news cycle, check it out.
As a general rule, you should be as excited about this as Wayne really doesn't want to be there.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is a lot.
He's spent
most of the trial holding a bag.
The massive tie.
Oh, that tie. I thought that was photoshopped. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
What's he doing? Well, I like Wazza.
We all like Wazza.
Yeah.
I think he's, I just think he's turned up and he's provided a bit of stability.
So the latest one today is about the alleged meeting between Wayne and Jamie, right?
Yes. Oh, it's brilliant. I was like, because there has been some sort of globules of information that have come through, which have been quite amusing, to say the least. Quite damning on British society, really, in general.
The legal system.
State of things.
Of which you are a part.
Of which I am.
A big part,
I am
way.
Battling against this in my own way.
Yeah.
We heard about Peter Andre got a very, very unfortunate mention.
Poor fella.
Short shrift.
Yeah. Very... I was watching him on the Top of the Pops 1996 the other day. Yeah. He seemed like a nice fella.
Emphasis on the word short there, Jim.
Yeah.
Terrible thing, and we know, no mystery around Rebecca Vardy with regards to all this.
Is that a mysterious girl reference?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you mentioned the 90s. I thought, okay, there's my cue. but yes, and poor old Peter had to come out on Twitter and sort of defend himself, which he did ineffectively, I would say. But anyway, back to the chat. As soon as I started hearing Euro 2016, Roy Hodgson's name was mentioned, I thought, right, here we go.
Yeah.
This is what I came for.
That's Marcus Speller's music. Come bounding down the aisle like Vince McMahon. Who's talking about Roy?
In an Umbro England tracksuit.
Roy just perched in the fucking rafters, looking around, looking for a little mouse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not Peter Andre.
No, not him.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
Oh, naughty. Oh, my goodness. So, yes, Roy Hodgson was concerned by Rebecca Vardy's son column, which I think, you know, wouldn't we all be?
Yeah, the talk being that Wayne was asked to sit down with Jamie to say, can you ask...
Yeah,
Rebecca to stop doing this stuff. That's what's been reported in the Metro.
Yeah. This has all been reported, yeah. So, what was also reported that was Rebecca Vardy was FaceTiming Jamie Vardy so much during this time, and it is alleged she was doing this to get tidbits to put in her column.
Yeah.
Some of the players were suggesting, like, you know, is she going to be in the team or something? You know, she seemed to be so ever present without being physically there in the camp. So you're right, Hodgson said, hang on. And being, you know, the responsible manager that he is, he asked one of his players to do it.
but really was captain, though.
Yeah, he was captain. Yeah. And I think Hodgson was probably having a game of drafts.
They could have done that together, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Hodgson's genuine dereliction of duty from Roy there.
Hodgson's getting stuck into his latest Philip Roth. I'm not involved in this.
Hodgson's genuinely reading an Agatha Christie.
The funny thing about it was the Metro reporting this morning that, like, so Wayne says he 100% sat down with Jamie and spoke to him, and Jamie said it never happened. And Wayne Rooney, it was reported that Wayne Rooney had a coffee and Jamie Vardy had a Red Bull. Which it's just anyone who's been to a Ramble Live show, we did about 20 minutes on Jamie Vardy and Red Bull. So I'm so pleased that's made it in there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, Wayne Rooney also said that he'd been totally unaware of his wife's sting operation to find the leaker from her private Instagram, which is, of course, what this is all about. And he said, me sitting in this courtroom is the first time I'm hearing almost everything on this case. Bearing in mind his wife is, you know.
Yeah.
This week is really the first time I've had any understanding of what happened.
Yeah. Colleen Rooney herself said that she's baffled by the whole Agatha Christie thing. It's like, guys, this is the best thing that's happened in this country in years.
Yes.
It's about you. Why don't you get it? You're missing out on so much.
Well, I would have called it the Rune Rendell. In case I'd have had my way.
It's so
Marina Hyde called it Wagnarok.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a lot to get involved with.
It's so on brand for Rooney, who I do really like, and who, you know, I mean... I don't have a can to this respectfully, so I think I'm just going to say it. Who does now look like a haunted Santa in a kind of, you know, disgusting fairy tale?
It's a whaler for me.
Yeah.
You didn't need to say disgusting fairy tale.
Just a fairy tale. Yeah. Like a disturbing fairy tale, I mean. But the thing
That's
is,
even worse.
If you've seen the Rooney documentary, which is actually very good, and Marcus is going to undermine my point here just by laughing the way through it. But there's a bit where they're having their house built, and Colleen's doing all of it. She's got the high vis on, she's got the helmet on. And Wayne Rooney at one point just looks at the camera and says, as long as I get a snooker room, I don't really care, kind of thing. And he really just does want a quiet life.
Oh, yeah,
like, he just wants to go through his life doing this. He likes being a coach. Mm-hmm. He likes doing this. Likes that. He loves his kids and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want any of this to happen.
No.
And I think it's a measure of the man that he's turning up and supporting his wife every day, carrying her bag.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, he obviously could sort his tie out. That would be good. But the fact that he said that, I actually find very endearing.
It's brilliant. I know what you're saying when he just wants a quiet life. Well, don't be England and Manchester United's top scorers of all time then.
But he can't help he's good at football.
He clearly has the vibe of someone who was in, I don't know, like a 50s or 60s footballer, who the only people know what he gets up to in his
local
personal
pub,
life is in the local pub kind of thing.
And also, I mean, obviously, Colleen Rooney as well has been famous since she was 16 and essentially just had her private life just in the papers constantly. And it's just like, the pair of them must be absolutely sick of it. So I have a lot of sympathy for them, as funny as it all is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story, though.
And it is funny, we should say.
I found myself this morning, I'm not really the kind of person who kind of gets involved in, like, celebrity gossip and stuff, but this morning someone posted on Twitter a massive transcript of Rebecca Vardy's WhatsApp conversation with her agent. I couldn't stop reading it.
Stunning.
And Rebecca Vardy was asked if something else was in Davy Jones's locker earlier in the trial. She turned to the judge and said, I don't know who that is. Who is Davy Jones?
Excellent. Yeah, we don't know.
Played left back for Southampton.
He did. And sometimes presents on Sky Sports. But tonight, everybody is...
He's the main host. Give him a bit more respect than that.
We all know who the main host is, guys, before the dark forces ejected him.
Oh, I thought you were going to go say cheers, Jeff. Cheers, Jeff.
Blimey. Tonight, everybody, it's the Europa League final. Mm. It's in Sevilla, or Seville, as us people call it. Rangers.
Us people.
Us Rangers are hunting for their
what,
first...
Brexit voters?
Rangers are in the hunt for their first European trophy since 1972.
Yes.
There's 100,000 Rangers fans who are expected to arrive in Seville. Good luck to you, civilians. That's not what they're called. But yes,
it would be quite good if they were, though. Yeah,
it's
sense.
It's a waste if they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Rangers fans are the people, they're the civilians. Match made in heaven. we shall see. But over 100 portable toilets.
I can't wait to see how you're going to navigate all this. This is going to be great.
There's over 100 portable toilets have been installed across the city. Now, if you've ever been to Sevilla, it's one of the most stunning and beautiful cities you can ever go to.
At time of recording.
At time of recording, yeah. That city has looked like that for many, many years.
Can I just say, sorry to cut in,
yeah.
I've never seen so many prominent people in football pleading for people not to fight. I understand the reputation of fans. I don't want to cast any tar anyone with a
particular
brush.
Sadly, you know, we're England fans and we know.
Yeah,
England
of course, absolutely.
Fans,
but to me, I was sitting there this morning on Sky Sport, watching Sky Sport News, thinking, there's so much pleading going on.
Graham Souness as well. We all know what he's capable
of. He's the last
in a
person.
Ruck. Yeah, but even he's going, look, just come on. When you say those toilets are portable, does that mean potential projectile? Like how?
They can be removed to restore Seville to its former beauty.
Yeah, but that's you don't know who's removing them.
Hopefully trained professionals, Jim, I would hope.
I think they're dangerous.
They need Souness out there with like a megaphone.
Yeah.
Just in case.
How big is it? There's 100,000 of them.
Yeah.
How big is a megaphone going to be? That's a lot of work for Graham. He's almost 70.
I don't think 100,000 are a particular way.
I don't think Graham wants the job.
Okay. Although, does anyone know if McCoist got a ticket? Oh, no. Old Ali was on.
Will eat my hat if Ali McCoist isn't there.
McCoist will be there.
He'll come on.
He was on the he was on the radio saying, I haven't got a ticket.
He'll surely get there.
I'll tell you what, we got gold dust, those tickets.
To make a semi-serious point here, so Rangers, the story of Rangers' journey to the final has really been...
It's been phenomenal.
They've had, of course it has, and they've had great results. But it's really been the cauldron-like atmosphere of Ibrox. Right? It's been a huge part of it. Mm. And their best chance against an Eintracht Frankfurt team, who I think, you know, cards on the table, people can berate me for this later if they want to. I think Eintracht Frankfurt are a better team than Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. So Rangers' best hope, I think, is to try and build that cauldron-like atmosphere in the stadium in Seville.
100,000 of them.
Quite, but obviously I haven't got tickets, but I understand why they want to try and build that.
Mm.
Me saying that Rangers aren't as good as Eintracht Frankfurt shouldn't be seen as an insult anyway, because Rangers aren't as good as a lot of teams they've beaten.
And
they're still in the final.
They know how to beat the German sides, though, don't they?
Has it not been, and I've not got the results in front of me, but is it not the case that they've been able to do that by really leveraging their home form?
Ah, true.
Something they're not going to get here. But you could say the same about Eintracht Frankfurt.
But they
probably
beat Dortmund in Dortmund, though.
Well, Frankfurt similarly create a huge atmosphere. And
I'll
tell you something.
It's be brilliant tonight.
In terms of attendance, you know, because sometimes when these finals happen, you get a team who, you know, take a lot of fans away, and some sides who don't have maybe a huge travelling support, or they didn't maybe have the tradition of that. I mean, generally, obviously, the teams are well supported. But these two, very much is the case. I mean, we saw the Eintracht Frankfurt fans take over the Nou Camp that time. You know, it was slightly specialist circumstances. So it will be quite the atmosphere in Seville. I mean, and it's just as well Rangers are playing German opponents as well, because I saw Jonathan Wilson tweeting out the temperature in Seville like yesterday afternoon. It was like 40 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
So
it gets really hot there, right?
I mean, my goodness, it's hot all year round pretty much there. But yes, it can get very, very hot. So if they were playing like a Spanish or Italian side, you think... So hopefully they'll be able to combat that. And I would like to say that the last time the teams met was in the European Cup semi-final in 1960, where Eintracht Frankfurt beat Rangers 12-4 on aggregate.
Yeah.
Apparently they were so good they were applauded off the pitch.
Yeah, I used to have a VHS video showing my age here that I saved up and got sent to me by putting vouchers from Smith's Crisps
in
the post, right? And it's called The Greatest Moments of World Soccer.
Presented by Brian Robson.
It was presented by Brian Robson. What great memory.
No, I had the same one.
Yeah, and in that they go into a bit of a deep dive.
Wasn't he charismatic?
No, he's awful. Absolutely fucking terrible. And they go into great detail about the final of that year, which they were beaten by Real Madrid 7-3, that great Real Madrid side.
Yes, of course.
Eintracht Frankfurt were an incredible team then. They looked so good then. Just reminded me of that anyway, obviously a long time ago. I'm not old enough to remember it. But
no, I appreciate
incredible
that.
Part of European football history. But they've been great, Eintracht Frankfurt, this whole season.
I think both sides of that, and this is why I think this, and I'm sure this is what UEFA wanted from this tournament, is for sides like Rangers, you know, very well supported because tradition and history, blah blah blah, and Eintracht Frankfurt, huge supporters, is making the most of it, getting to the final and providing a great spectacle.
You do sense as well that both of those fans are sets of fans are going to be very, very aware of what we've spoken about in terms of how good they are at creating an atmosphere at home, and they are going to be. It's going to, the match is going to be between the two sets of fans as much as anything else. Vocally, we hope.
Yes, good to specify.
Yes, and I cannot wait to see how this plays out. There's a TIFO involved, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah. The Frankfurt fans, yeah, apparently they need 7 trucks to transport it.
7 trucks?
Yeah.
The TIFO culture is
Frankfurt
something
to
that
Seville
I think we need
not
to get involved with a bit more.
Yeah, it's a long, old journey, that. But I think we said this about the semi-final between West Ham and Frankfurt, Eintracht Frankfurt, in that we felt it was a bit of a 50-50 game. Now, the way it panned out, it was, you know, he was sending off and so on. Blah, blah, blah.
But Eintracht Frankfurt handled the occasion much better.
Yeah, they
that's
did.
Different.
But whereas with Rangers, they were very much the underdog against RB Leipzig. And you kind of think to yourself, well, if they'd have lost that game, depending on how it sort of pans out, you think, you know what, guys, you've had an amazing run, but you've just been beaten by a side who are really, for all intents and purposes, a sort of a Champions League side who are knocking on the door of the top 3 and 4. Or they are in the top 4, I think, in Germany as well. But the other game, it was like, you've got a chance here to grab this, and obviously Eintracht were the ones that did. It's the same in the final here, is that I remember when Fulham were against Atletico Madrid in the Europa League final, of course. I'm sure a lot of people
They dropped down from the Champions League, didn't they? Which is, I thought, was really a real shame.
Well, exactly. But up front, it was, you know, Diego Forlán and you know, all these sort of players that you would still remember. Fulham were clearly underdogs. The Fulham story was the fact they got to the final. Right, see what you can do, lads.
Yeah.
How long can you keep them going for? And they nearly got it to penalties, which I think they probably still would have been beaten of. But still, you know, what a story. Which, this is different. This is, you have a chance here. And it's the same for both sides. I look at this, I think it's pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I'm going to stick my neck out. I think Rangers will do it.
You reckon?
I think Eintracht Frankfurt will make the early running. But one thing that Rangers have been pretty good at is soaking it up, trying to hit on the break and getting that man Tavernier at the back post to stick one in. You know? So I think...
Their mentality's been hugely impressive, isn't it? I don't think they're going to be overawed by this situation.
It's kind of interesting. It's probably the only way, with respect, the only way you probably would compare Rangers and Real Madrid is that they both teams feel like in Europe this season they don't really know when they're beaten. Rangers definitely got that feel about them. And that might make the big difference, and it may well make the big difference for Real Madrid in the Champions League final as well.
Yeah, but an intriguing tie, and it's happening tonight.
I can't wait to watch it. I'll definitely be watching it.
Yes, for see a lot of sweaty football fans singing their hearts out.
Is it too late for us to get a late flight over there?
Is this some sort of McCoist plea? Because if it is, you've timed it dreadfully.
I'll tell you what, if someone said to me right now, you can go and watch that game tonight with Ali McCoist,
You'd find a way.
They wouldn't even get to the end of the sentence. I'd be gone.
You'd stow away on one of those Eintracht trucks.
I would purchase a ticket for a commercial flight.
Right, okay.
And I would fly to Seville.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Probably well expensive now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And you'd have an orange off a tree when you arrived.
If it was legal, I would do that, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I assume it is. But
you're speaking like a man who's actually been spending all his time in Seville doing that.
I was tempted. I didn't actually take one of the oranges because I brought my own, foolishly. I prefer them from Valencia, if I'm honest, Jim.
He's gone.
Yeah,
just wrap it up, he's gone.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network, everybody. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.